RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the weekly internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 33 with guest Tony Redmond, recorded Thursday, November 1st, 2007. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Hi, you're listening to Run As Radio, and I'm your host, Richard Campbell, and here with me always, although actually down in Portland, Greg Hughes.
Yeah, virtually here and with all of you. How's everybody doing?
Things are good, and presumably when this show is published, we'll be on the other side of a really rough bunch of travel.
Yeah, by the time we're listening to this, we will have been to Vegas and home, and then to Barcelona, Spain, and back home again.
Right. And I'm likely with a big pile of shows from all the live interviews we were able to do, which you never know for sure what you're going to get, but we got a few things scheduled. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Take advantage of what we call the fall trade show season and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, and it's been a busy season. No question about that. I got an email for you.
Good, let's hear it.
And if you want to fire email to us, feel free to send it at info@runasradio.com. This is from Jim Holmes, and he says, "Guys, I'm greatly enjoying your show during part of the 2.5 hours I wear my car each day driving back and forth to work." Nice line.
That's about how much time I was spending in my vehicle going back and forth for several years, actually.
Oh, it's such a commute. And now I feel bad we're only making a half-hour show once a week. I got 2.5 hours a day to fill here.
Well, or listen to it a few times.
Right. While I'm currently on the development side of the house these days, I have a number of years doing the IT thing in the past. Think back to the days when 20 megabyte hard drives were huge and you had to reformat them if you were putting the PC case vertically instead of horizontally.
I remember that.
Oh, man. The old Seagates.
You know, Richard, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, this, that's the kind of person that the hiring managers that are listening out there, that's the kind of person you really want to try to go after. Somebody who's done the IT side of things, knows the infrastructure,
yeah,
has done development, because I've found it's really hard to find people that you can really glue those two sometimes competing yet cooperative philosophies together.
Yes, and funny, because Jim goes into it exactly a statement like that. Your show helps remind me that, yes, I do need to go talk to the IT guys somewhere closer to the start of a project than at the end of it. I'm also doing a moderate amount of work in the SharePoint space these days and looking to expand that, so I greatly appreciate all the shows you've done on Moss and business intelligence lately. Keep up the great work, and I hope to meet you at Dev Connections in a few weeks. Regards, Jim Holmes. And Jim, I hope we met you, because by the time this is aired, we'll have already been and gone.
Let's just say, you know, Jim, it was great to meet you, and you're a terrific guy.
And, you know, we've talked about this before, but it's a huge issue that if you engage the IT folks, the folks that are going to run your software for you early, sure, in the process, you're going to have more success. Life is easier.
And the flip side of that coin is if the IT management and the IT staff is engaging the users before they put the systems in place, then they're going to have a lot more success as well. It's
right.
Really all about proactivity. The modern IT help desk, that's something I've been doing a lot of writing about recently in some consulting and writing engagements. The modern IT help desk isn't just a reactive, you know, answer the phone and solve a problem. It's prevent the problems from happening in the first place.
Well, and I think we ought to do some shows around the IT help desk. I think it's a fascinating part of our job.
Absolutely.
And if you'd like to see a show on IT help desk, encourage us. Send us an email, info@runasradio.com. All right, Greg, let's talk to Tony. Tony Redmond is the Vice President and Chief Technology Officer of Hewlett Packard Services. Tony is responsible for the technology strategy and leadership of HP Services, the world's third largest IT services provider. He's also the security lead for HP and manages the HP Security Office, which is responsible for setting the strategy and direction for HP's security initiative and coordinating activities across all business units. Welcome, Tony.
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
Thanks for taking some time out.
And I know I'm outgunned here because Greg's a security guy too, so I'm sure if we end up in security talk, I'm totally doomed.
Yeah, you don't want to get security guys talking together because that gets boring rapidly.
But I think today's topic is really, you've done a lot, was it 9 books now on Exchange?
I think it's, something like that. I mean, I forget that, you know, Exchange has been around for a long time. That's something that people really don't remember. It was launched in 1996, and we really started working with the product around 1994. So that's an awful long time. I've probably invested far too many hours of my life either thinking about the product or writing about the product.
Yeah, it's Exchange has a way of consuming you too. I've called it the only server I fear.
Well, I certainly fear the messages that get delivered by Exchange, at least some of them.
not nearly as scary as it used to be. I'm trying to remember, I think my first experience with Exchange was Exchange 4, 4.0. Yep. And it was pretty scary back then. Even 5 and 5.5 days was pretty scary. Exchange has come a long, long way since then.
Yeah, but I think we forget, even when we look back to Exchange 4, is the kind of environment that we were operating in at that stage. I mean, the average corporate email was only about 2 kilobytes and was plain text. We had enormous difficulty in getting corporate directories set up, and interconnecting email was an absolute joke because, you had problems with the X protocols, the Y protocols, everything else protocols that people were using. And I remember we used to declare success when we managed to get a simple text message to go between two companies, but we've been doing that since the age of the telex. So that wasn't really a huge technical achievement. Look at where we're at today, and we're in the era of things like, gigabytes of mail going around, including the gigabytes of mail in a single attachments, and you've got unified messaging and everything, and it's all so easy. It's just incredible.
Well, and we forget about things like we weren't using TCP/IP as our default stack then. We still had PDC/BDC. There was a lot of challenges just in the infrastructure, much less actually moving mail around.
That's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And I think the other thing that we should think about too is that there's been a massive growth of email in corporate implementation. There's been an even more massive growth of consumer-based email. So email has just become absolutely pervasive to us. And way back in 1996, when we were deploying Exchange 4.0 on things like Windows NT 3.5, One systems running, I think 32 megabytes of memory, and maybe with a hard disk with a whole whopping 4 gigabytes of space. it's just phenomenal where we're at right now. It was slow back then. I mean, those Pentium, those early Pentiums, or even, I installed Exchange on 486s.
Ouch.
They were slow, but they got the mail through eventually.
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 Well, certainly the scale today is different, and I mean, just look at the percentage of email that's spam that has to be weeded through. I mean, everything about email is much, much bigger these days. I've heard Microsoft people who work on these, especially on the consulting side and the support side, say that Exchange is by far the most complicated application that Microsoft has ever put together.
Well, it's certainly complicated because it's so feature rich. I suspect that there's a fair case for simplifying Exchange, and certainly that's a thing that I've talked to a lot of the engineers about over the years. But on the other hand, it's what users are demanding, And the other thing to think about it is that there's very few Exchange servers that just operate in a vacuum. Most of them are surrounded by a complete ecosystem, ranging from the base operating system up and Exchange's interconnection and dependency on Active Directory, all the way up through the things like the anti-spam, antivirus software, backup software, compliance software, all the other stuff that surrounds Exchange today. So when you think about Exchange, you don't always think just purely about the Exchange server itself. It's the clients, it's the add-on software, it's the base operating platform, it's even the devices. And as we go into a world where mobility is just expected, the actual devices become more important because they're the things that cause all the difficulties. I mean, securing mobile devices is a nightmare today. provisioning mobile devices is a nightmare. It's easy enough to get email there, but actually getting email off them and when they're lost is probably more of a problem.
I find Exchange works great in the Outlook Exchange world. It's as soon as I want to sort of branch out where I want to support some IMAP clients or mobile clients that things get a lot more complicated.
Well, yeah, that's true. I would say that Microsoft probably isn't too interested in IMAP, for example. It's a kind of a checkbox item for that they've got to do to make sure that exchanges consider for some large bids. That's the first thing. And on the mobile side, they've definitely been behind the likes of RIM with BlackBerry and Motorola with GoodLink. But you know, the pace is picking up, and the recent announcement of the System Center Mobile Device Manager, and of course HP's own Enterprise Mobility Manager, gives you the ability now to do over-the-air provisioning and securing of mobile devices, albeit devices that are a little bit perhaps more intelligent than some of those that we've had in the past, because clearly you've got to have clients that are able to deal with commands issued by servers over the air and respond to them. I mean, there's no point in sending a remote wipe command to a device that's basically brain dead.
Yeah.
It just won't do anything.
Not going to help you.
Yeah.
One of the big areas of improvement in Exchange 2007, in my view, is manageability and just the administrative backend. In the previous versions and in 2007 as well, you see a lot of things that impact end users from a feature functionality standpoint. Seems like there was more of a focus in Exchange 2007 on providing interfaces and new management capabilities.
Yeah, I think that's correct. One of the things you've got to remember is that Exchange 2007 is fundamentally a new architecture. It's the third iteration of Exchange. If you take the first generation being Exchange 4.0 to 5.5 and then Exchange 2003 being the second generation, what we've got now is the third generation. And with every generation, you'd expect to see some improvement. And one of the things I think we've seen here is that Microsoft has really invested a lot of time and energy and engineering dollars in automation and maintainability. So the basis for a lot of the automation that now exists in Exchange 2003 is of course, PowerShell. And I think this is a huge step forward. I mean, the PowerShell by itself is not just linked to Exchange. It's something that is used by other Microsoft products, and it's also something that's now part of the base platform in Windows 2008. But the really interesting thing for me is just how deep Exchange went when they embraced PowerShell. I mean, PowerShell is Exchange 2007 management when you think about it, because what the engineering team has done is that they have written or encapsulated all of their business logic in PowerShell, and then built other components such as the Exchange Management Console and the setup program on top of that PowerShell base. So it's just throughout the entire product. And I think that's a huge step forward.
I'm laughing because you think about PowerShell as the most advanced interface, and it's a command line interface.
Yeah, but when you think about it, if you look at all of the heavyweight enterprise operating systems that exist out there, they all have this capability. They all have command line scripting. They all have the ability for you to take simple commands and automate them through procedures that can be reused time after time after time. A long time ago, I mean, on OpenVMS systems, the power of the DCL procedural language is just awesome. And we wrote huge, huge, huge command procedures, thousands and thousands of lines of command procedures to automate projects to automate operational procedures that were used day in, day out. If you look at Unix, you look at Linux, you see the same type of thing with languages like Perl. To me, the advent of PowerShell is just an indication of growing maturity in the Windows base. And it's probably something that's about 5 years too late, but at least it's here now.
Well, and it seems interesting to me that obviously when you get down to CLI, this is not about a fancy interface. This is about a deep view into the product, that anything that product can do, we have access to through PowerShell.
Well, that depends on the implementation. I mean, if you look at Exchange, yeah, that's absolutely true. And if you look at some of the other aspects of Windows, you find that you can't do what you really want to do with PowerShell. I mean, Active Directory is a classic example. Active Directory is probably the most fundamental building block that you've got to take care of in a Windows infrastructure today.
Absolutely.
PowerShell doesn't support Active Directory except through through a COM interface. So it's just convoluted at the moment dealing with Active Directory. But you know, on the Exchange side, it's absolutely great because you can sit down and start writing single one-liner commands, get stuff done. Go get me, you know, a list of all mailboxes on a server. One-line command. Fantastic. You can then start to pipe the information that you retrieve from that one-line command. You can pipe it into other commands and start doing some sophisticated things. And that is just really, really, really interesting because then you can see yourself having the basis to start building on stuff that you do bit by bit by bit until you get to a point where you have very sophisticated scripts. And those sophisticated scripts then become part of your operational background, stuff that you do every day. And that's where the real value is, because there's no doubt that automation removes administrative error. It removes costs. It drives productivity. It drives quality. And one of the problems I think that we have suffered with in many Microsoft products, not only in Exchange, but in many other Microsoft products, is that there's been too much manual intervention required by administrators over the years. There's been too many secret background registry hacks that administrators have to know about. There have been too many ways of getting things done. And what PowerShell does is it allows you to have a single interface that you work with the operating system and applications through. And by using that single interface and automating through that single interface, you get a hell of a lot of value, which is the real big win, I think, that we've got here right now.
Greg.
An evolution we're going to see over the next couple of years is that I think you're going to see a new ecosystem being built up around PowerShell. You're already seeing the buds of it out there on the internet where people are swapping scripts. You're already seeing the early things like development environments being built, not by Microsoft, but by third parties. You're already seeing new gadgets like Power Gadgets being built to allow you to plug in stuff that's based around PowerShell. And my forecast is that over the next 2 or 3 years, this is just going to be a rich, rich, rich hunting ground for administrators who perhaps are looking at PowerShell right now and say, well, gee, I can't really get my head around it. But if they can go out in the internet and grab a whole pile of scripts and examples and gadgets and stuff that they can just plug in to construct the kind of administrative operation they want, I think that's a huge win for them as well.
What might be useful too is maybe you can give us an example, sort of a nuts and bolts example of, let's say that you had an Exchange implementation, you were going to do your very first PowerShell script using the scripting language for administration.
Yep.
What are some of the first things that you would do? Maybe some great examples of where real benefit can be seen really quickly.
Okay, well, so Exchange 2007, new architecture, only runs in 64-bit hardware. You can't upgrade a server from 32-bit Windows 2003 to 64-bit Windows 2003 and 64-bit Exchange 2007. So what you got to do is install brand new Exchange 2007 servers and brand new Windows 2003 servers. A new hardware. And the only way that you can get users migrated is by moving mailboxes from old servers to new servers.
Sure.
And that's an issue because that can be intensely time consuming. Well, with PowerShell, you can script the whole thing because there's a wonderful little PowerShell command called move mailbox. You sit down and say, okay, give me a list of all the mailboxes on this particular mailbox database on that server, that old Exchange 2003 server. Give me a list. That's one command. Now, for each one of the items on that list, which happens to be a mailbox, go move it to this new server and put it in this new database. Go do that now and sit back and watch it happen. And because move mailbox is multi-threaded, it'll go and create a number of threads. You can, I think the default number is 4, but you can increase that if you want to, and you just watch all those threads operating. What a wonderful thing for an administrator to do.
Sounds like the ability to, you know, routine maintenance, things that maybe you do on a daily or a weekly basis, or the kind of thing that you would do overnight or after hours. There's an awful lot of things that a PowerShell interface to Exchange, maybe you don't even have to be there anymore.
Yeah, that's That's true. I think the reporting in something like a Move Mailbox operation is good enough for you to set things off and to come back and check that it's all done. Another interesting aspect, actually, while I'm just thinking about it for Move Mailbox, is that a lot of people today are collapsing exchange organizations into single exchange organizations because it's easier to administer, and maybe some of the reasons that existed to have multiple exchange organizations in the past don't exist anymore. So Move Mailbox allows you to move mailboxes around between one organization and another. And again, that kind of thing used to be awfully difficult to do, but now sure. You can go and script it and provide all the credentials. You can even provide filters on Move Mailbox to say, well, you know what? Those users in that old organization probably have got a whole pile of junk in their mailboxes. So let me just do a filter. So I'm only going to move all the messages that they've received in the last year. Go and do that. And again, that's a couple of lines of script.
Are there any challenges that people tend to run into when they're starting to use or using the PowerShell interface?
Well, the same type of challenges that they'd receive with any programming or scripting language. I mean, what was your first experience now with something like, in my case, COBOL? You know, it was, oh my God, what's an environmental division? What should I do next?
And, gotcha.
You know, how many full stops am I really going to need at the end of a line? That kind of thing. But, you know, very rapidly you get past the syntax challenges. Okay, how do you pass parameters? How do you pass variables? How do you add things to a multi-value list? These are all things that, you know, you're going to meet along the way. But going back to my previous point, I think that there is an ecosystem evolving now which supports people. So, hey, if I have an issue, let me just go and do a quick search of the net, find out PowerShell plus, for example, Move Mailbox. That'll probably come up with a set of hits that one of which is going to be close enough for me to be able to hack it and get to a point where I can do what I really want to do. I mean, you know, the old thing is never reinvent where something is there to be stolen.
That's the Robert Frost quote: "Immature poets imitate, mature poets steal."
Yeah. Well, I'm not advocating here, you know, the stealing of intellectual property in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But if people have published example scripts out there on the net for you to go and learn from, there's no point in you sitting down and saying, "Now, how would I start this?"
Yeah, I did a quick Google for Exchange 2007 PowerShell, and it's just pages and pages and pages of stuff out in the wild there for doing this.
Yeah, and my advice would be that you start focusing those searches on relatively new stuff, because there's no doubt there's, among all those search hits that you got, there's lots of stuff that was probably written in early 2007 or even late 2006. And the problem you have of going back to that late, if you like, is that firstly, Microsoft made some changes in PowerShell syntax as they went from Monad to PowerShell, and the product groups had the opportunity to implement on top of it. So some of the syntax that is quoted may not be 100% correct. And secondly, I think if you look at the later stuff, people have become a lot smarter. So you're going to see better scripts, more performance scripts. You know, and that is actually a challenge with PowerShell. It's like many things that offer you simple ways of doing things. If you keep on doing things simply, you'll probably find that when you try and scale things up to deal with maybe 1,000 mailbox, things don't work as well as they did when you're one-liner that was just going to go and update an attribute on a single target.
So there is ways to craft more sophisticated scripts that work efficiently at scale.
Oh yeah. But the nice thing about PowerShell is that it does repay you if you spend a little bit of time just figuring out the syntax and what it's all about. And of course, anybody who's done any sort of programming in the past is going to find that their experience is very valuable and very useful when they start crafting their own PowerShell scripts.
Well, it may be that Exchange is the first place that maybe an administrator or a team starts to work with PowerShell, but then I know in my experience that it's very quickly that PowerShell knowledge can be put to use in a variety of other environments across the entire enterprise.
That's absolutely true. Basic Windows today, with the other products that are supporting PowerShell, and one of the interesting things that I get when I go to Redmond to talk to engineering groups is just how many of the Microsoft engineering groups are now getting on the PowerShell bandwagon.
Sure.
So, over the years, I think you can be pretty well assured that the investment that you're making now in acquiring PowerShell knowledge and building up your skills is going to pay huge dividends. I mean, it's not something that they're, at least in my view, it's not something that they're going to dump tomorrow or even 5 years' time. This is something that has added enormous value to the whole Windows platform. And the fact that it is now integrated as a base component in Windows 2008 server is indicative of that fact.
And, so how is HP involved here? What's the relationship? Is there a relationship with Microsoft? What is it that you all are doing?
So it's difficult to describe the total relationship between HP and Microsoft because that relationship expands over a complete spectrum of technology from handheld devices all the way up to very, very, very large Windows clusters. And the other thing, too, is we're a consumer of each other's technologies. Microsoft uses a lot of HP and technology internally. We use, clearly, a lot of Windows technology, other Microsoft technology inside HP. So we both learn from each other, and PowerShell is just one example of what we've been learning on over the last couple of years. And our consultants have now been fully trained in it. We ran a huge Exchange 2007 Academy program. PowerShell was front and center in that. Because we really reckon that this is going to be an important way to drive cost out for customers by going and automating all of those common management operations that are so costly if you just allow them to get out of control.
Well, that's awesome. And HP Services, you're about consulting on Exchange and that related Microsoft technologies?
Well, again, HP Services is huge. So we'll do anything from support, the most mission-critical support that you want, for all types of technologies, not just Microsoft technology,
right.
All types of technologies, through consulting to help you plan, architect, design, and deploy Exchange and many other products, through a managed service where we'll take on the total responsibility for delivering that service to you.
Awesome. So, and really it looks to me like Exchange is the first product that's really taken advantage of PowerShell in a big way, but I've talked to the IIS7 team, and it sounds like the Windows 2008 in general is going to be very PowerShell-centric.
Yeah, I think you're right there. To me, Exchange 2007 is going to be the product that really turns on a huge mass of people onto PowerShell. And then that's just going to, the advent of 2008 is just going to increase the momentum.
Excellent. Tony Redmond, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your insights on Exchange and PowerShell.
No problem. Delighted to talk to you guys.
Thanks for joining us.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.